We're in Psalm 108 today. You can see the title. I've titled it The Song of Early Morning Praise. I've also titled it, a second possible title for it is the song is Song of the Song of the Christian Soldier. And since I don't have it written here, and that could, oh, wait a minute, here we go. Yeah, okay, song, what is that called again? Song of Early Morning Praise, or Song of the Christian Soldier could be an alternate title for it. We are in Psalm 108. One of my favorites, yes, you young people are keen to that. One of my favorites. 150 favorite Psalms, absolutely. You guys are right on it. It is a psalm with an inscription. In the New King James Version, it says a song, period, a psalm of David. In the Old King James Version, it says a song or psalm of David. And it is it does have an inscription. In the New King James Version, I'll read the 13 verses. Verse 1, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. Verse 3, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. Verse 5, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. Verse 7, God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Sukkot. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet for my head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Over Philistia I will triumph. Verse 10, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? And you, O God, who did not go out with our armies? Verse 12, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. Now, this is the word of the Lord. And as the young people have noted, one of my favorite psalms for various reasons. And that's what we'll get into a little bit when we look at our devotional thought from Psalm 108. And even our youngest little young person is, thank you for that witness, Stefan. Mr. Spurgeon has this to say of the title and subject, a song or psalm of David, to be sung jubilantly as a national hymn or solemnly as a sacred psalm. We cannot find it in our heart to dismiss this psalm by merely referring the reader first to Psalm 57, verses 7 through 11, and then Psalm 60, verses 5 through 12, though it will be at once seen that those two portions of Scripture are almost identical with the verses before us. It is true that most of the commentators have done so, and we are not so presumptuous as to dispute their wisdom. But we hold for ourselves that the words would not have been repeated if there had not been an object for so doing, and that this object could not have been answered if every hearer of it had said, ah, we had that before, and therefore we need not meditate upon it again. The Holy Spirit is not so short of expressions that he needs to repeat himself, and the repetition cannot be meant merely to fill the book. There must be some intention in the arrangement of two former divine utterances in a new connection. Whether we can discover that intent is another matter. It is at least ours to endeavor to do so, and we may expect divine assistance therein. We have before us the warrior's morning song, with which he adores his God and strengthens his heart before entering upon the conflicts of the day. As an old Prussian officer was wont in prayer to invoke the aid of his Majesty's august ally, so does David appeal to his God and set up his banner in Jehovah's name. Mr. Spurgeon continues with the division. He continues to write, first, we have an utterance dictated by the spirit of praise, verses 1 through 5. Then a second deliverance evoked by the spirit of believing prayer, verses 6 through 12. And then finally, a final word of resolve, verse 13. As the warrior hears the war trumpet summoning him to join battle immediately, and therefore marches with his fellow soldiers at once to the fray, end quote. So again, that's from Mr. Charles Spurgeon's Treasury of David. And he does have a somewhat of a light heart, as you can tell, when it comes to this. And he does note that in Psalm, again, this seems to be somewhat repetitive in Psalm 57, verses 7 through 11, and Psalm 60, verses 5 through 12. The same is repeated. So a third time we receive it, recognizing that any time we have repetition in the Scriptures, it's for our sake and not because the Lord God wants to hear himself again with such mighty words. Bless you. Devotional thoughts of Christ from Psalm 108. In verses 2 and 3, which I'll read again, awake, lute and harp, I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. Even using instruments in verse 2, to awaken the dawn. In other words, getting up earlier than the sunrise in order to praise the Lord. And in it, we see that whether in private prayer or in his public witness, every breath of the Lord Jesus Christ was first, foremost, and full of praise for his heavenly Father. In Mark chapter 1, verses 35, as there are many other verses, this one captures his early morning rising. Now, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. The Lord Jesus was a man of prayer and a man of praise, and in fact, we are glad that he was so, because had he not been a man of prayer or praise, our praise would fall into the pit of Sheol. It would descend into hell because we had no one to go before us in prayer. His prayers and praise were perfect and applied unto our lives. And we, and David, being a man after God's own heart, prophetically utters those things. Bless you. I'm sure that there was a day that David didn't feel like waking up right after he sinned with Bathsheba. I just don't feel like getting up today. Embarrassed and so forth. In verse 6, we read, that your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and hear me. In this, the deliverance of the Lord is perfect. Man, the beloved Son, and God's anointed Jesus relied upon the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit for deliverance from every situation and circumstance that would hinder him from bringing God glory. And here I just used the scripture reference from Luke 22, verses 41 to 42, when he prayed in the garden, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That he always sought the Father's will through the Holy Spirit. And this is a verse that captures that, knowing that he was to go to the cross, that he must pray this so that he remained righteous. And if he didn't pray this prayer, as I've mentioned time and again, it would be a sin, because he is the Lord of light and life, and for him to rush headlong into death would have been exactly what Adam did. So he needed to seek his heavenly Father and ask that the cup be passed from him, which is his death upon the cross. The Holy Spirit led him in all things, and he was delivered from situations and circumstances. Luke records early on in his ministry when he preached in Nazareth that they were going to throw him over the cliff, but he was delivered by the hand of God. to keep him to this moment. In verses 7 through 9, God has spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Yehuda is my lawgiver, Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe, and over Philistia I will triumph. In those verses, by his humble and faithful obedience unto death, the Lord Jesus Christ purchased redemption for those he has saved by his grace. For Jews, as pronounced in Gilead, Manasseh, Ephraim, Judah, the inhabitants of Succoth. For Samaritans, because Shechem is named, and Gentiles, Moab, Edom, and Philistia. As they're mentioned there, they are his triumph and victory encapsulated. That's his redemption for the whole world is captured in verses 7 through 9, and no one is left out. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 9 tell us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself unto death, even the death of a cross. And so here is this humble and faithful, obedient servant of God going to the cross. And we know that his gospel is for all, as Paul proclaims in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, which would mean everybody in between. So half-breeds like Brother Anthony and myself, or I'm not even a, you need a double portion, that's right. I'm not even a half breed. I guess I would be like a quarter breed. And there are other things in here, you know, that in verse 11, you could say that it speaks of a cross. Who would, verse 10 and 11, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me to Edom? Actually, that's both in his first and second coming. And then in verse 11, you drop something there. Is it not you, O God, who cast us off? Or you could even write, who cast me off? Or cast us off, in that we are included, because Christ going to the cross, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. But and so forth, as we recognize those scriptures. Now I have a devotional challenge for the young people before I open it up for questions and comments, and for the young at heart. The first one is, as in verse 1, you know, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. And this is where we find a typo. Praise God in your glory. How do you praise God in your glory? If all glory is to be given to God, how do we praise God? With in our glory, as it says here in verse 1, when you meet with the Lord in prayer early, personally, privately, when the glory of his presence shines upon you, and I should read that a little bit slower, when you meet with the Lord in prayer early, personally or privately, when the glory of his presence shines upon you as it did with Moses. And that's Exodus 34, verses 34 and 35, not 33. We just read it this morning. Praise him in song, or was it yesterday? Yeah, it was this morning. Praise him in song before the glory fades. When Moses went into the tent of meeting, he was with the presence of the Lord. In fact, he was with Jesus pre-incarnate. And the glory that Jesus knew with the Father before the world was, he had that because he was not yet born. And so this glory was transferred on to where Moses' face glowed. And in fact, even his garments radiated when he went out and spoke to Aaron. And then Aaron spoke to the people. And when he went back in, he covered his face so that if anyone saw Moses, they wouldn't see the glory fade. And see, and until he went into the tent of meeting again to speak with the Lord, and then he took off the veil so that he could speak with the Lord. Then he went out to the people, and they saw Moses' face shining. That's the same thing as when we meet with the Lord, specifically to meet with the Lord. There is his presence goes with us, And so we praise him with that. When we come forth from early morning prayer and praise, that we go forth through the whole day. Now that glory will fade because of the corruptions of our flesh, just as it did with Moses. But the knowledge that we have from Scripture and the truth that we have of Christ, that will never fade because that is the eternal promise that the Spirit gives us, different from the days of the law. Did you have something, sister? You look like you. Next challenge, proclaim Christ's victory and possession. That's from verses 7 through 9. I won't read it again where all those places were mentioned. Christ Jesus has triumphed through Calvary, through Calvary's cross, redeeming the world for himself. He rejoices in his victory. So we should rejoice also. So proclaim Christ's victory and possessions. Young people, you might not, you know, you might not run into an unbeliever every day that you could say that to, but that doesn't mean that you can't proclaim them. Proclaim it to your parents. When that has struck your heart, proclaim it. Wives, proclaim it to your husbands. Husbands, proclaim it to your wives. Get on the phone and call somebody. Hey, you know what? Jesus Christ has won victory upon the cross. It should make us want to move. And Lisa was probably sick today because she was all planning on coming. She was all ready, and she just she's not doing well. I'm feeling we got to go to the doctor tomorrow anyway. But she's probably tired. I made her sick and tired of hearing me say that. Did you know Jesus died for us? Yeah. But she's not tired of hearing me say that. Who could be tired of that? I do not tire of the gospel. The simplest gospel preacher may present a 20-minute sermon about Jesus Christ crucified, and even if he stumbles through it, the Spirit will minister unto me how glorious that truth is. Christ crucified, buried, risen, and ascended into heaven. It shouldn't tire the saint of God. So I challenge you with that. Proclaim Christ's victory and possessions because he owns you if you're his. And even if you're not his, he owns you anyway. Place your trust in Christ's hands always. Verse 13, where it says, through God we will do valiantly. There's a song, a hymn. It's a song, a Psalm of David. Through God we will do valiantly, for it is he who shall tread down our enemies. There is nothing valiant in the power of our corrupt flesh. Nothing. Our corrupt flesh has no power in it whatsoever except to do evil. There's no good power in, no valiant power in the corruptions of our flesh. So find strength in Christ alone and proceed in life by the power of his might, according to Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Go out in the power of his might. How do you do that? Praise him early in the morning and let that glory rest upon you and proclaim his name always in your heart and then even out loud to others. And then you'll be going forth in the power in the power of Christ, placing your trust in him. That's how it's done.